living during difficult days. One of the few places in the Bible where we can look at a mother-in-law, and a great mother-in-law. Her name is Naomi. Very, very good. So, today we're going to talk about this. The message is entitled, How to Be a Good Mother-in-Law. How to Be a Good Mother-in-Law. And what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at all four chapters in order to do this. How to be a good mother-in-law, we're going to be in Ruth chapters 1 through 4. But before we do that, I want to take a moment and just review. So pull out your outline, and what I'm going to do is just give you some key verses through all four chapters and just do a little bit of review in that way. The first chapter, the basic story unfolds in four acts. It's like a four-act play, and it was written in a style to present us with information about who God is and about God's great grace to us. And so as we look at that, we began in chapter 1, and the whole idea of chapter 1 was make decisions, what? That honor God, that follow God. And the verse is 1:16. So chapter 1 is decisions, and the key verse is 1:16. You need to make decisions that put God first. We say we do this, but do we actually live that way? And we saw in this chapter that this family who knew God and loved God made decisions that did not put God first. They broke one of the key laws that they were given. They were to stay in the country of Israel, but they left, and there were some hard times in the country of Israel, but they left and went to what country? Moab. Moab, a neighboring country. And we talked about decisions. Make decisions that don't violate God's will for us and follow His law. Chapter 2, we looked at what? Key word, kindness. Kindness. What direction are you moving in? Are you becoming a more kind and gentle person? And we saw in this chapter that everybody was kind to everybody. That wasn't by mistake. That wasn't by accident. The key verse then is chapter 2 and verse 20. Kindness towards one another. Chapter 3, a great opportunity. A great opportunity. Are you passing up great opportunities that God is putting right before you? Great opportunities. Don't do that. God has designed special things for you to do in your walk with Him to take advantage of great opportunities. And that would be chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. And then finally, we got to chapter 4 last week. And God's solution for life. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. What is God's solution for life? And we look at the life of Boaz, actually. He comes in and he redeems. He rescues. And what's the third R that I use? Redeems, rescues, and rewards. He does those things. And we talked about this last week. All right, so today, though, we're going to step back from this. We are going to look at a mother-in-law. And we're going to do a couple things. First of all, there are some mother-in-laws in here that this message, we're going to be talking about you. But more than that, it's as if you have a mother-in-law, you need to encourage, support, pray for them, because they're special people. They're not perfect all the time, but who of us in this room is perfect? Anybody in this room perfect? All right. Watch it over on the side. I saw that. All right, let's do this. On your outline, let's look at who? Let's look at Naomi. Naomi, they left Israel. Her husband and her and two sons, they traveled to Moab. The sons married. Not long after this, her husband died, and both her sons died. So we had three ladies, Orpah, Naomi, and Ruth. And Ruth is the mother-in-law to these ladies. And so this is where we get our context. All right. I only get confused every now and then. Not a lot, but she was. All right, here we go. On your outline, she was a. She was a. She was a. That's what we're doing. She was, first of all, a role model. She was a role model. My goodness, she must have been an amazing woman, because neither one of those ladies, Orpah or Ruth, wanted to leave her. And she talked to them about that. All right, let's look at this verse then. She was a role model. Chapter 1, verse 16. Let's bring that up, if you would. But Ruth replied. This is after Naomi said, go back. Go back. You and Orpah, go back. Stay with your people. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Read these words with me. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Amazing words from Ruth. Amazing words. I'm going to leave my people. I'm going to follow you. Your people, Ruth, will be my people and your God will be my God. What an amazing statement. And we see this maybe in weddings or something like that, but the context of this is just with her as a mother-in-law. She was a role model. They were going to follow her. There was no hope. Really, there wasn't. There was no guarantee that anything was going to work out. And yet, Naomi conducted herself in such a way, and we don't have a lot of information on that, but she conducted herself in such a way that they were going to follow her, Ruth was, anywhere. She was a model woman, a model mother-in-law. Ruth would have followed her. I'm guessing, because we don't have a lot of information about Naomi, and we don't, but we have a statement like this, and this is a clear statement of somebody committed to her, that probably more was caught than taught. More was caught than taught. She modeled things. Ruth looked at her life, and she saw things that she wanted to emulate. She saw things she wanted to follow. And then there was this whole relationship with God, and Ruth didn't even know this God. And yet, Naomi had such a relationship with God and was so consistent, she had to have been for Ruth to follow her. She was a role model. You know, I have a number of mentors in my life, and I still have mentors and will continue to have mentors. Not all of those mentors are men. I have some ladies that are mentors. And not long ago, I had a problem with my car. I had a broken motor mount. So if you don't get that fixed, you're going to have more broken motor mounts and it gets more expensive. And so I drove to the repair shop. Just so happens that one of my role models was there. This was a lady who is now 80. But back in the late 80s, Nina Schwetz is her name. And I was on staff at Church of the Open Door. She had just lost her husband in the 80s, and she was brought in to be the office manager. And she came in, and this woman could do nothing on a computer. You would think she doesn't got a chance. She didn't know anything about a number of things, but let me tell you what this woman had. She had the most amazing people skills. She could talk to people. She could encourage people. She could be direct with people. And it didn't matter that she couldn't even turn a computer on. Now, that is important in this day and age, but she couldn't. And I watched her for 2-3 years. Her office was right outside my office. I learned more from that woman with the door open and listening to conversations. Maybe I shouldn't have heard them all. Well, she talked loud, too, so, you know, I could hear her that way. But I had the chance. I hadn't seen her in a number of years. I had the chance to go get something to eat with her, and she wouldn't let me buy. And I really wanted to buy, but she wanted to go to Der Wiener Schnitzel. So we went there and both got chili cheese dogs. Those are good. I don't eat many of those, but those are good. And I got to hear about her life and how she's doing. She's 80 now, and her mind is still amazingly sharp. And I got to tell her, Nina, thank you. Thank you for the role model you were to me. She knew more about the Bible than I did. She did. She knew more about getting along and dealing with people, both tough situations and good situations. And I knew I was doing this message, and I said, you're one of the role models of my life. And, you know, it's kind of humbling. She started crying. And I said, you don't have to do that, but you can if you want. It's okay. She was a role model to Ruth. There are ladies in your life that may be mother-in-laws. In this case, she was. Nina was. Ladies, more sometimes is caught than taught. Be a role model. As a mother-in-law, but as a woman. Men, this applies to us too. We're not just going to pawn this all off on the ladies today. Be a role model. Be consistent. Be faithful. Amen? Amen. Let's go to number two. She was a teacher. She was a teacher. In the context of chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, there's a situation where she had to understand a number of things. She had to understand some things about her culture, obviously, but she also had to understand some things about God's Word. God's Word. And we see this a couple of different times in here. Let's bring up 3, 3, and 4. Now, this is where she is talking to Ruth about going and meeting Boaz to what? To complete his kinsman redeemer responsibilities. Remember, we talked about that. He was the kinsman redeemer. And so, but she knew this. So the balance here is what I'm looking at too. The balance was, you know what, Ruth, you're going to look good. You're going to look good when you go, and that's all right. And as we talked about this passage when I went through this, ladies, look good. This is a passage that says, wash and perfume yourself. Put on your best clothes and look good. Nothing wrong with that. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Verse 4. There we go. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying down, then go and uncover his feet and lie down at his feet. He will tell you what to do. In the culture and tradition of this day, she was just doing, putting herself in the position where she could talk to the kinsman redeemer and put the responsibility on him for taking care of her as a relative and Naomi. Naomi knew this. She gave her that kind of advice. And we saw that so much of that's couched in culture, but yet she also knew God's Word. She knew a lot about God's Word. You know, part of being a teacher, folks, so much of it is being and having common sense. A lot of it is just having common sense. And in this case, Naomi does. And she did. And she was followed. And she was respected. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, are you learning more about God's Word? Is there something you've read recently that you didn't know about God's Word? Are you continuing to learn and grow in God's Word so that ultimately you can teach somebody else? You learn something new about God's Word? Maybe in the series of Ruth. Hopefully I've wrapped some information that's new, that's something that's challenged you. What about prayer? As you have read God's Word, anything new about prayer? Well, yes, we're supposed to do it. Are you really learning and growing in your walk so that you can be a teacher, so that you can help somebody else? There are some other things in this passage that talk about her as a teacher, but clearly she was a teacher and she used common sense. All right, number three, she was a concerned person. She was a concerned person. Now, the big thing about being a concerned person is that you can be a concerned person, but you need to tell somebody. You need to demonstrate it to somebody. It's not good enough to just think it. Tell. Be concerned. Now, verses 8 and 9 here. Let's go ahead and open that up. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, chapter 1, it had been 10 years according to what the passage says. They are now going to go back from Moab to Israel. Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead, that would be the sons, and to me, your mother-in-law. Okay? May the Lord grant that each of you find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them and they all wept aloud. May the Lord grant that each of you find rest in the home of another husband. As much as she dearly cared for Ruth, we know for sure, and I'm sure for Orpah also, she wanted the best for them. The best she felt for them was to find another husband to remarry, which they could do. Their husbands died. Get remarried, have a family, and keep living your life. It would have been much easier to get to the point in the road where there was a fork in the road, so to speak, and say, come on, girls, let's go. Let's forget about Moab. Now, she backed up and said, what is best for them? What can I do for them? How can I help them? What is the advice that I would want to give to them that shows concern, that shows that I really care? And she was willing to give that advice and say it and show it. They were not going to follow her unless she was a caring woman. You're going to follow somebody that doesn't care for you, that criticizes you, that belittles you, that tears you down? I don't think so. She was a caring woman. And she cared for them. And we only have a couple of verses because we've only got four short chapters. But she was a concerned person and she was willing to show it. She was showing concern for them. My mother-in-law is here today. Not often that I've had my mother-in-law here. I don't often get to spend time with Bob and Dorothy. They live on the other coast, and they have a full ministry still in terms of helping out with one of the centers of Wycliffe Bible Translators. And last night I saw pictures, folks, of the good old days. These are pioneers. Bob and Dorothy were pioneers. They were part of that first wave, early part of that first wave of missionaries that went in, established contact with tribal people. They couldn't speak the language. They couldn't do anything. Began, and then they would spend 10, 20, sometimes 30 years building relationships, translating, writing down, and creating a language with the goal of making at least the New Testament available and the whole Bible. I saw some of these pictures, the canoes that they were in. I saw pictures of Ruth at jungle camp. She was taking a bath. Guys, she's a three-year-old. Now, come on. She was in a little tub, but they had to take baths and do all that. Dorothy had three young children that they took into the jungle with two packs, and that was it. And it's amazing, amazing to hear some of the history of some of the pioneers coming out of World War II. And a lot of people came out of World War II and went right into mission and did that. Well, you know, it doesn't stop with them today, even though they're a few years older. You see this fine tent? This fine tent was decorated by Ruth and by her mother. My mother-in-law, and doesn't this just look great? And they spent time doing that. She didn't have to do that. Dorothy didn't, but she loves doing that stuff. And she spent time with Ruth. The hardest part was getting the roof or getting the poles up and everything, but once they did that, this is going to be an amazing part of Vacation Bible School. And I'm grateful that I have a mother-in-law who was here, and she didn't even have to be asked. She was willing to go and to come over here and to do that. So I just appreciate the fact that she is here and that she is a concerned person. She is. She cares for her daughter, Ruth, and for our family and for our kids. Thank you. All right, let's go. Next point. She was a help for grandchildren. She was a help for grandchildren. Can this ever be overdone? Yes, it can. But she was a help for grandchildren. And we just have to laugh, don't we, at some of the... Oh, there's some folks, God bless them here, that have given and given and given for their grandchildren, and God knows that, and He will take care of that. She was a help for grandchildren. Chapter 4, verse 16, then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and what? Cared for him. This is so important today. It's important in every generation, but it's very important today that grandparents, mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, can be helpful in this area. Now, in Naomi's case, she was a great help to Ruth to help her out. And that's what it said she did. She cared for him. With the way the economy is, with the way things are? Thank the Lord for your parents and your grandparents who help, who sacrifice, who give time to take care of children. One of the greatest discipleship roles I feel that a husband and a wife has is first of all with their kids. And then it's beyond that, but it's with their kids. And in this case, Naomi took care of him and helped him. There's also many other ways, but I know of a number of couples and people in this church who help with their kids and their grandkids. And I don't need to really explain that. I really don't, because we know what that involves and the sacrifice it involves and the time it involves. But we see the example in Ruth, and so by God's grace, help out when you can, as you are able. And what a great thing for a mother-in-law to do, but for all of us to do. Amen? Amen. Exactly. Next, she was a counselor at times. She was a counselor at times. She was a counselor at times. Now, in chapter 2, and as we get to verse 22, it's interesting. She gives examples, Naomi does, of explaining things quite a bit, and other times she doesn't say as much. But she was a counselor at times. And every mother-in-law, by the time you've gotten to that point in life, ladies, there's a broad range of experiences that you've had. And I think that is great. And that is part of God equipping you to be able to help your family and others. I think the key here on my statement is she's a counselor what? At times. And I think that's the key. That is the key. All right, let's look at this. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, after hearing what happened during the first day when she went to a field to pick up little stalks of grain. Remember that? And I talked to you and said, you know what the equivalent of that is? Recycling plastic cans. You know, for the most part, it's not going to make ends meet, but it does help. But that would be the equivalent today. So, but she had no other choice, and she was going to do that. It would be good for you, my daughter, to go with the girls, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. I could have used this verse talking about concern for others. This one's clearly one on concern. But she says some things here that reaffirms Ruth came to her and said, I'm going to go out and do this. And she said, okay, go ahead and go. Then later in the day, she came back and really encouraged Ruth. And we don't have all the conversation again, but let her know, I was concerned for you, Ruth, and I'm glad you found Boaz's field. That was no mistake, was it? God was at work. And that Boaz talked to you and you could stay with the servant girls and you would be protected and taken care of. But she was a counselor. She said things at certain times that were very helpful, and she said little in these very brief four chapters that we have at times. Now, I think the key thought here is, first of all, to be a counselor, you need a wide range of subjects. Never stop learning, mother-in-laws. I don't care how old you are. Never stop learning. None of us can never afford to stop learning about God's Word, about current events, about our world, about world missions. Never stop learning, first of all, so that you can maybe be a counselor, you can be a help to people that come and talk to you and ask you what is going on. She was a counselor at times. This is where there can potentially be some problems. There just can. And it can be with father-in-laws. Here's what I would say. To be a counselor at times, here's what I would advise to do. In 1 Thessalonians, there's a little verse that has three words. Pray without ceasing. When you are in the position you are as a mother-in-law and in a counseling thing, ask God for wisdom what to say and how much to say. Ask God for wisdom what to say and how much to say. So I think potentially there can be some real problems here at times. pray without ceasing. Ask God for wisdom. My daughter-in-law is coming to me. My son-in-law is coming to me. No, my son, in that case. Give me wisdom what to say, Lord. Help me to say just enough and not too much. I think that might be a good way to handle that. She was a counselor what? At times. And I think that's important that we talk about that just for a moment. Okay, finally, she was a wise speaker. She was a wise speaker. And here we're going back to the conversation before, the last one, where Ruth comes to her with an idea. And really, there weren't a lot of options here, folks. And at this point, let's go to chapter 2 and verse 2. Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field, pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." Four words. Four words in this case. I think that might have been real wisdom there. She comes back to her later in the chapter and says more. And what she says is very encouraging and supportive and helpful to Ruth, I think. Be a wise speaker. Know what to say when. That has only come by experience. Know what to say when. Know how much to say. And that is experience. And that's not only for ladies, that is for us, gentlemen. Know what to say and when to say it. She was wise in the way she spoke. She was a wise speaker. Don't say everything. That's the other side of this. The other side of this is a tendency just to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and no, too much. I had a great aunt, Aunt Dorothy. Aunt Dorothy passed away not too long ago. One thing I loved about Aunt Dorothy is that you would hear every story you would ever want to hear about what's going on in the walnut and almond industry in Waterford, California. I knew everything. Do you know why they call it an almond? No, an almond instead of an almond? Because it had the L shaken out of it. All right, think about it. All right, you guys are not farmers, I can tell. It's had the L shaken out of it. All right, that's my aunt. All right? But one thing about Dorothy, this is a good example, and Dorothy would say too much, and she would rattle on and on and on, and you're sitting there, and you're just, dying at times. Sweetheart of a lady, but sometimes she'd go too much. Don't go too far. Don't say too much. Don't go on too long. Know when to say when. Ask God for wisdom. God, guide my tongue in my dealings. As your mother-in-law, as a godly mother-in-law. All right. We've got a future mother-in-law speaking out there, don't we? All right, here we go. On your outline, ladies, do you know when to speak up and to be silent? I'm just going back and kind of emphasizing this again. This is a key thing, especially as a mother-in-law, but as a woman, just wait. Next week, gentlemen, it's us. Next week, it's us. We're going to look at Boaz. We're going to look at being a desirable man. So, and we've already looked at an appealing woman, right? We did that about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Ladies, do you know when to speak up and to be silent? And I think that might be one of the key things that could be very helpful in being a good mother-in-law. All right, so on your outline, let's finish up. A good mother-in-law then is, Rick, can you come up here, please? A good mother-in-law, and Rick, you're not my mother-in-law, but I need you to come up here. A good mother-in-law is caring, concerned, and spiritually minded. I'm just restating this. And is sometimes a counselor. Just listen to those words. Let them permeate your heart. A good mother-in-law is caring, concerned, spiritually minded, and is sometimes a counselor. Sometimes. All right, what we're going to do is take a few minutes. Go ahead and shut your Bibles and whatever you have. As Rick plays silently, quietly, bow your heads. Yeah, you can't play silently. Sorry about that, Rick. But as he plays quietly, I want you to pray a couple things. First of all, some of you still have mother-in-laws that are in your life. First and foremost, you thank God for them. Thank them. Thank God for their example. They may not be perfect, but rejoice at what a mother-in-law has meant to you. Then in this room, second, ladies, at some point, most likely, you will be a mother-in-law. Ask God to guide you, direct you, to teach you the things through His Word, so that you will be that mother-in-law or continue to be that mother-in-law that honors Him with your life and with your example. Lord, we thank you for just the privilege of going through this Old Testament book that's so important in establishing the guide, from Abraham to Jesus Christ and the part that Ruth and Boaz play. Lord, more than that, there's so many other lessons tucked away in your word, and one of them is looking at a godly woman. Lord, we rejoice. In this church, there are a number of mother-in-laws. They love you, Lord, and they desire the best for their families. They desire the best for a church, this church. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, I pray that in ways you would encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, we value them and praise you for them and their example. But I pray on the other side of this, as sons and daughters and as men, that we would appreciate more the great gift of a mother-in-law. And thank you for that. Lord, we rejoice this morning in what we can look at through your word and see Naomi and her relationship with Ruth and with others. Help it to help us walk closer with you and more in tune with you. Thank you that we can give, and we do that gratefully this